the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you.
It's time now for Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people incorporate their faith into their everyday lives. The program is underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
Yes, may the Lord's peace be with you. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host today is MJ Crowder, and MJ always asks our guests to tell a little bit about themselves, partly because, well, she's real curious, but she likes to share that with the audience as well. But this time around, I suspect you know a little bit about our guest.
I do. And actually, this one has never happened before, but my guest today on Faith in Action is Anna Maria Morgan Crowder. My number one daughter. and it will become apparent why she is our guest today, because we were going to have guests who had gone to the canonization. I thought, well, holy cow, my daughter went to the canonization, two of them. So welcome, Anna Crowder. God bless you, and thank you for agreeing to be our guest today.
Of course. Glad to be here.
Anna is a burn unit nurse at Riley Hospital. Is that a good explanation?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, Anna, tell us a little bit about you. What parish do you belong to? Tell us about your family of origin.
Well, I have the greatest family on earth and the most wonderful mother, of course. I grew up on the northeast side going to Holy Spirit and St. Simon, but currently I go to St. Joan of Arc, and I love it.
Yay!
Yes.
You also do a little bit of singing on the side.
I do. I have a band, Anna and the Kings. We play regularly around town, rock and roll cover band. And I also sing regularly at St. Joan of Arc for weddings, for masses, for funerals, and I'm very involved that way.
Well, let me tell you why, listeners, Anna is our guest today. She had the unique and incredibly blessed opportunity to witness the canonization of Pope John Paul II, now saint. It's kind of interesting to say that.
Yes,
saint
it
John
is.
Paul.
It is.
And Pope John the 23rd, really, really people of our time. The most wonderful thing about it is we lived in their time.
Yeah.
So, well, I did. I have. Mm-hmm. So I have so many questions. I hope we get to many of them. But let's go back to the beginning. How did it come about that you even chose to travel during that time?
Well, my sister, your daughter, is living in Germany as we speak. And I had, as soon as she got a job over there, I wanted to plan a trip to visit her. And we were kind of figuring out our itinerary. And I think it was my lovely mother that mentioned that, I think that the canonization of the two popes might be going on around that time. Because we were deciding between April to go or July. I was planning my trip over July. Oh, the summertime would be beautiful. Or April. Man, we could go to the canonization. And it didn't take much thought beyond that to choose to go to Rome during that time. And I actually had studied abroad in Rome 10 years ago. I've always felt a connection to JP2 because of that. I was there in 2004, the fall of 2004, when he was still Pope, and he died in April of 2005. So I thought it would have been a great opportunity, a 10-year anniversary for me to be in Rome during that time. So that it was actually pretty easy.
I had forgotten that connection. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want our listeners to kind of feel a little bit, because honestly, we listeners, you will know this, we got very limited coverage over here. I was expecting that I would turn on the TV Saturday night or Sunday morning and it would go all day. Yeah. I really thought that, Jim. I thought it would be, there would be wall-to-wall coverage of the canonization process all day long. That mm-hmm. was my expectation. And we got none of that. We got little snippets.
Oh, by the way.
Oh, but yeah. It was an oh, by the way moment and little things here and there. So I kind of want to give our listeners what it felt like. Mm-hmm. So you arrive in Rome on what?
Wednesday night.
Okay.
And, you know, it's funny that you say that there was such little coverage, because when we were in Rome, we felt like there was massive coverage. There were news crews on every corner. From all over the world, all different cultures, religions, and ethnicities, everyone from all over. But we got in Wednesday night, and there were a good amount of people walking around the streets, but it wasn't extremely crowded. But as the week went on, Thursday, Friday, oh my gosh, the crews that were setting up for the canonization were massive. There were barricades that were going up. The crowds, you could not only see, but you could feel a palpable presence of just an extra, you know, million people in the city of Rome. We were trying to do some sightseeing, and the Trevi Fountain was, I mean, you couldn't take a picture without getting, you know, several hundred people in the picture.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And walking the streets of Rome, like I said, having lived there, I knew what it was like, but I've never seen Rome that crowded. Walking through the little teeny tiny alleyway streets, like, we were having to hold hands to get through together. I mean, it was just mobs of people throughout the entire city.
I can't imagine that. Yeah. I just can't imagine. Jim, have you ever been to Rome?
I have not been to Rome.
Oh, that's a trip you must make. A once-in-a-lifetime trip, at least once. I've been one time, but what struck me, Anna, and if you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Anna Crowder, my daughter. what struck me at that when we went on it for a 25th wedding anniversary about 10 years ago was seeing bands of priests, five or six or seven, or bands of nuns, six or seven or eight or nine, walking together through the streets. We stayed near the Vatican, but mm-hmm. to see them, it was wonderful to have that kind of affirmation of living in a Catholic community.
Oh, yeah. That was really cool, because this time, more than any other time in Rome, or I think in the world, there were never so many religious life. And Catholic, but I mean, even non-Catholics, just Christian people on fire for their faith. But it was so cool seeing, you know, groups of college students, you know, singing and praying in the streets, or groups of priests, you know, groups of nuns, of monks, of brothers. We saw a whole bunch of Buddhist monks that were there. Like, it
what?
Was, yeah, there were just tons of religious life, and it was so cool. And I felt so comfortable and at peace, and like, can't just the world be like this all the time?
Yeah.
Like, everyone's saying God bless you and please and thank you, and like stopping in the streets to pray. Like, it was awesome.
I can't imagine what that was like. So you stayed in a hostel not very far from the Vatican, correct?
Yeah, just like a block away from the Vatican.
So did you notice, that just an offshoot here, did you notice that prices were, that it was horribly expensive, or was it not really any different?
It was pretty pricey. The hostel that we stayed in was, I think, 80 euros a night, which is like 100 bucks. I mean, it wasn't terrible. I think that's a hostel.
That's
a hostel, yeah.
So it's still a little bit pricey.
Yeah.
Okay, so take us, because I think you did something quite interesting. I don't know whether it was Friday or Saturday, but you actually got on TV.
I did.
Now, how did that happen?
Well, it was Saturday morning. My sister Emily and her friend Liz and I were walking across St. Peter's Square, and they were a few paces behind me, and I turned around because I overheard one of them say, "Oh, no, but we're from Indiana." And I walked over, and there was a reporter and a camera guy that were talking with them. And I said to the reporter, "Well, where are you guys from?" And she said, "We're from Chicago." And I was like, "Oh, well, I used to live in Chicago." And she was like, "Oh, my gosh, this is perfect. Can we interview you?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, okay. What about? And she said, "Well, there are all these medical tents that have popped up, and we kind of wanted to do a segment about the canonization and all the people, and what if someone gets hurt?" And I said, "Well, I'm a nurse." And she said, "Oh, this is an answer to prayer. This is providential. We absolutely need to interview you." So sure enough, I was interviewed by WGN News Chicago, and it was aired on that Sunday morning, the Sunday morning news, and that evening as well. So yeah, that was pretty darn cool. It was definitely a God moment. It was not a coincidence. It was, I was exactly where I needed to be. Yeah.
You know what? I want to hear stories of times during your 2 or 3 or 4 day stay there where you felt the presence of God, or maybe even the presence of St. John Paul.
Yeah. You know, that Saturday before the canonization, we knew that there were going to be a million people that wanted to get into St. Peter's Square for that Sunday morning ceremony. And we were with a group of college students, some friends of friends of friends. And
that in itself was crazy, how you hooked up with people from the States.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There was a group of college students that we met up with that were kind of doing a pilgrimage there too. And a lot of them, a handful of these girls, were very devoted to, are very devoted to Our Lady. And it was so cute because throughout the course of the weekend, they kept saying, Our Lady, Our Lady, Our Lady, Our Lady's going to do this, Our Lady's going to do that. And anyhow, that Saturday, people had started camping out on the main drag, Via della Conciliazione. I love saying that.
Say that three times fast.
Yeah, the main drag leading up to St. Peter's. People started camping out at 2, 3, 4 in the afternoon. And we were saying, well, should we start camping out too? And these girls were like, no. We're going to adoration. We're going to pray. We need to pray. We're going to pray our way to the front of that line. We are going to get into St. Peter's tomorrow morning.
And on that note, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Portions of our programming are funded by St. Vincent Health. For more information about women's health, St. Vincent provides 317-338-4HER. That's 317-338-4HER. A 24-hour advice line that connects women to a registered nurse. Get answers to questions about everything from pregnancy to menopause. Information is also available online at 3384HER.com.
Talk about a cliffhanger. Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Anna Crowder, she is a burn unit nurse at Riley Hospital, but the reason that she's our guest today...
And in spirit of full disclosure...
She's my daughter. She's my favorite oldest daughter. She's chatting with us today about the canonization. She was in Rome not too long ago for the canonization of Pope John 23rd and Saint John Paul II. It's going to take me a little while to say that.
You know,
that.
We had to update our brochure here. We had a quote from Pope John Paul II. And we had to update that, change that a little bit.
I love it. It's a wonderful thing. But before the break, Anna was telling us about, I wanted to know some stories about how she felt the presence. Mm-hmm. Because side note here, many years ago, I had the opportunity to go to St. Louis when John Paul II was in St. Louis. And there were hundreds of thousands probably at the Mass in St. Louis. And I went on a pilgrimage with several of my brothers and sisters. But there was a feeling in that dome of peace and calm like I've never felt in my life before. And it was the presence of being in the presence of a holy man. And this was way before he was considered for sainthood. So I want to hear stories how you felt physically moved, that you knew that the hand of God was in your activity. So we broke right as you were saying, we're never going to get in the barricades. We're going to have to camp out to get in. What happened?
So anyhow, this group of girls, they are, you know, very devout to Mary. And they had this plan. We want to go to adoration. We're going to pray our way through this. And so we went to a prayer service that Saturday night. We went to adoration that Saturday night. And then we packed up all of our things and walked towards the Vatican. And like I said, people had started camping out at 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And so we were hoping that we would be able to get close, because this is several hours after that. Well, we got there and there were barricades set up. And there were hundreds of thousands of people already crammed onto all these streets around the Vatican. And some of the people in the group, there are 14 people, you know, some of them were having doubts. They're like, maybe we should just stand back. There's a big screen TV right there by that bridge and that grass. We can just hang out there. But then there were this group of girls. There were like maybe 4 or 5 of them. They said, no, Our Lady told us she's going to get us through. And they kept saying, Our Lady, Our Lady, we'll just she's going to pray us through this. She's going to carry us through. And so we walked around to this other street. and spoke to this police officer trying to, like, you know, get our way past the barricade. He said no. And then we were, you know, right when we were going to give up, there was a movement in the crowd. There must have been a barricade that was moved. And people started rushing and running towards this open space. And we went along with it. And as soon as we did, we realized that that was the end of Via della Conciliazione, which is that main street that leads up to the Vatican. So we were standing right there, and we could see St. Peter's. I mean, it was far. It was a quarter of a mile down the way, but we could at least see it.
See it, sure.
And there were, I don't know how many people ahead of us, but it looked like 100,000 people ahead of us. I mean, a massive amount of people ahead of us. And we thought, if this is all that we see, if this is where we are, this is fine. And we were grateful. And this was, keep in mind, at 11 o'clock at night. Well, throughout the course of the night, they must have had a barricade system set up, because every couple hours we moved ahead 10 feet or so. And what's really funny is that we were praying throughout the night. These girls were leading the rosary or leading the Divine Mercy chaplet. And it seemed like every time we started to pray, we started to move. Like, you know, and you know, the people that we met along the way, we met this really sweet Polish lady who told us her story about how this is her first time coming back to Rome after her daughter studied abroad and died in a terrible car accident 2 days before she was supposed to meet with the Pope, her daughter, with JP2. So she was telling us this story, and it gave me chills, and we cried about it. And then we met this other man who is a nurse from New York City who sang the rosary with us.
Oh,
like, we're
goodness.
Praying it, and he's singing it. And all the while, all these different people are waving their country's flags and singing their country's anthems and, you know, singing Hail Marys and Ave Marias. And it was so cool. But keep in mind, this crowd of people, there was no place to sit. There was no place to lay down. We were shoulder to shoulder, like, practically on top of each other.
All through the night. So you're saying you were sardines all through the
night. All through the night. If you had to go to the bathroom, good luck. I really think that people might have just gone in there, the place where they were standing, or if they left, they never made it back to their spot. Luckily, in my group, no one had to use the restroom, so we were blessed very much in that regard. But throughout the course of the night, every couple hours, we moved 10 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet. And by 6 a.m., we were at the very front. We were at the last barricade. And we saw tons of people in St. Peter's Square. And we didn't know how many people they were going to let in. But we were just praying, just let one more set of people in. Just one more set. Just let us in. And I was like, you know what? Let's just say another Hail Mary. We'd already said the rosary 3 times and the Divine Mercy Chaplet once. Just one more Hail Mary. So we started praying it. And no sooner did we get to the Holy Mary, Mother of God, they opened this last barricade, and
oh,
our group
goodness.
Went in, and we were able to breathe. We stretched out. There were porta potties right there, and it was absolutely amazing.
So that obviously was a God moment.
Yeah,
You were the praying, and obviously it was an immediate answer to prayer.
Absolutely. And so when you asked earlier, did I feel the presence of God or saint or the Blessed Mother? The Blessed Mother, absolutely. And I think that this group of girls who are so, you know, Marian, I think that they really helped, like us saying the rosary, us praying to the Blessed Mother. And I know that JP2, he always professed his love for the Blessed Mother. You know, he was very close with her. And I think that because of that, you know, we were able to get through.
So let me ask you a quick question. So you were sardined, really, for all intents and purposes, mm-hmm. Through the night, standing up and walking slowly towards mm-hmm. the Vatican. The ages of the people around you, mm-hmm. were they mostly young people? Were there a lot of older people? Were there people with little babies? I mean, what was the age of the people that you could see around you?
Everything that you could possibly imagine. We saw mommies and daddies with strollers and baby Bjorns, you know, the little packs on the front or on the back with the newborn babies. We saw people in wheelchairs. There were old people, really old, children. I'd say most of the people were, you know, my age, in their 20s, 30s. You know, there were a lot of young pilgrims, which was really cool. It was awesome to see so many young people on fire for their faith.
That's so encouraging. That really is encouraging. Okay, so fast forward to the Mass. So you got in.
Mm-hmm.
You got in, and you could breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Was the Mass itself, what was so different about the Mass? What was special about that and how they handled the canonization mm-hmm. of these two holy men that was so different. How did that touch you?
Well, the beginning of the ceremony, that's when they announced that's when the whole blessing of the canonization was. It was in the first 15 minutes. And then the rest of the Mass was pretty much a normal Mass with a couple extra readings, a couple extra things here and there. It was in Latin.
The whole Mass was in Latin?
The whole Mass was in Latin.
Oh, wow.
There was the first reading was in Greek by some Greek woman. The second reading was, I think, in Italian. And I think the homily or the gospel was in Italian, and so was the homily. But what was really cool is in the first 15 minutes when the Pope was doing the canonization ceremony, the skies had been overcast. The skies were gray. It was a little chilly. But when he announced, you know, it was in Latin I deem them, you know, Saint John the 23rd and Saint John Paul the 2nd. I'm not kidding when I say that the skies parted. We saw the sun and there was a breeze, breeze.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was absolutely the hand of God coming down and blessing everyone.
Affirmation. Mm-hmm. Listeners, if you're just now tuning in, Anna Crowder is telling us her stories of being at the canonization process in April, at the end of April. And I really think we need to hear these kinds of stories, and our listeners need to hear the kind of stories that not only to answered prayer, but that you said something interesting on Facebook, and it made me smile because you said that you felt that the Blessed Mother swept you up to the front.
Absolutely.
And I thought it was curious that you were able to receive communion,
mm-hmm.
that you got close enough to receive communion, because I know that I heard from the news people earlier in the day that they were only going to give it out to a limited. I mean, they obviously everybody who came could not receive communion.
Mm-hmm. I think that there was enough for everyone inside the colonnades of St. Peter's, and that's where we were. So we were able to receive it. But there were over 100 priests that went out and served communion.
See, that visual in just itself is incredible.
It was actually really cool. There was a priest, and then there was a priest that held an umbrella, a yellow and white umbrella. Yeah. Just, you know, here we are, you know, as kind of the mark to go over towards that umbrella and then receive communion.
To see those little gold domes, if mm-hmm. you will, you mm-hmm. know, the umbrellas carrying, and knowing that was carrying the Eucharist mm-hmm. around. I can't imagine the feeling. So let me ask you this. What treasure did you find that you brought back? Because I remember saying, yeah, to bring back a special treasure. This mm-hmm. is, because I think, listeners, this is a moment in history. I mean, when I told people you were going, they said, oh, is she going to bring back tons and tons of rosaries or medals or, mm-hmm. you know, everything that you would have brought back at that time and during the time is blessed and wonderful. I mean, mm-hmm. historical. So what treasure did you bring back for yourself that will be, you know, this is what you'll tell your grandkids. This is what I brought. This is what I got in Rome during the canonization. So what special thing did you take away from it?
Oh, man, I brought back so many wonderful things. I'm wearing a medal that I absolutely love. It's the Alpha and the Omega. And it was, at least the guy at the shop told me this, and I believed him, that this was redesigned by John Paul II. And it is an international symbol of peace among all nations, all religions. And so this is very precious to me. I also found a beautiful hand-carved wooden crucifix that I'm so grateful made it back in one piece. And so many other things I can't even tell you. But something else that I brought back that's really cool, and I'm not sure if all of our listeners know this, but I brought back a medal of St. John Paul II on one side and the Blessed Mother on the other for my sister-in-law as a gift to her, because she's wanting to expand her family. And I told her that I would pray for her when I was over there. And during the canonization, and this gives me chills, and this is awesome and wonderful, but Pope Francis deemed John Paul II the patron saint of families.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and I had no idea. My sister-in-law, Lindsay, had no idea. I don't think anyone knew, but that was one of the things that JP2 wanted to be known for, was his love of families.
Yeah, and I didn't know that. I hadn't heard that before. Since then, you know, we heard Pope Francis saying that. Mm-hmm. But what a wonderful gift. I mean, mm-hmm. and each saint is known for something special, and what a wonderful gift he will be to generations to come.
Yeah.
Anna, we just have Anna Crowder, our guest today on Faith in Action. We've been talking about the canonization, her trip to Rome, and picking up her little sister in Germany and hopping over to Rome for the canonization process and the stories. We literally have less than a minute left.
Ah, I have so many more stories!
Okay, so tell us a little tidbit. What more should we know?
Oh, you know, one of my favorite little moments was when we were running through the streets of Rome with this group of college students and our American flag, and we were singing, "Oh, the saints are marching in," you know, the saints are marching in song. And we happened upon this group of priests from Mexico sitting outside at a wine bar drinking wine. And, you know, they had red teeth from wine. But they stopped us, and they had these life-size cutouts of John the 23rd and JP2, and they said, "Drop everything and let's pray for vocations." Oh. And so we said a Hail Mary. You know, there are like 30 of us saying a Hail Mary right there in the streets of Rome. But it was so cool to have tons of those little experiences all along the way.
What beautiful affirmation of our faith, and the beautiful rich faith, and the fact that our church is one holy Catholic universal.
Amen.
So, Anna Crowder, thank you for being our guest today on Faith in Action. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, and may the rich graces that you experienced during that trip stay with you your whole life, and may the Lord's peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions. To suggest a guest or a topic for this program, call us at 317-870-8400.
May the Lord's peace be with you. May the Lord's peace be with you.